I'm Kier from In Defense Of, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1...
Welcome to Better Podcasting, a show where we talk about podcast tips, tools, and best practices to help you succeed with your podcast. What makes us different? Well, just like you, we podcast purely out of the love and fun of it. Podcasting is our hobby, and we recognize that it's yours too. We always encourage your questions and feedback, and you can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. Here's your host for the show, Stephen John Drew and Stargate Pioneer.
Hello and welcome to episode number 63 of Better Podcasting. My name is Stephen John Drew, and with me today, of course, is my friend, my pod friend, my friend, Stargate Pioneer.
When are you going to stop making up these hashtags? Pren, really? There's pod regrets, pod pressure, pren, pod back. When's it going to stop, Steven? When are you going to stop being creative and not entertaining? Come on, man.
Hashtag pod pressure. Hashtag prending. Hashtag, what was the one I made up last week?
It was pod, what was it?
Podgate. No, that wasn't it, but we're going to go with Podgate.
No, it was pod. I can't remember anymore. Too many of them.
Yes, we are here today to talk about hobby podcasting. That's what we do here on Better Podcasting. Isn't that right, Stargate Pioneer, my pod friend?
Yes, Better Podcasting, the official hobby podcasting podcast of the GunnaGeek.com network.
Absolutely, which takes us perfectly to reminding you that we are indeed part of the Gunna Geek Network. And also on the Gunna Geek Network is an amazing show that you might have heard called the Starling Tribune. Now, this is a podcast that is all about the fan show Arrow. Well, it's a fan show about the TV show Arrow. That would be cool if it was like a fan show about a fan show. But anyways, I digress.
Like Talking Dead?
No, the Talking Dead is a fan show. So like if I did a podcast about the Talking Dead, then it would be a fan show about a fan show, which would be incredible.
The Incredible Hulk?
Yes, absolutely. But no, we are part of the Gunna Geek Network, and please do check out all of the amazing content on the Gunna Geek Network, including the Starling Tribune. And today, we're going to wrap up on this show our three-part arc on guesting. We're going to tell you a little bit more that you might want to know before you have a guest on your show. Then in the download, we're going to get very, very meta and question a hobby podcast on a hobby podcast. What? And finally, we might even take your feedback about some of the hot topics in the world of podcasting this week. But before we get there, we want to tell you a little bit about a fun story how somebody might have saved said podcast. That's right. This is another edition of How I Saved My Podcast. If you're not familiar with this segment, what we usually do here is we have you share communally with the listeners slash viewers all about your podcast and something that happened and how you saved it. And you can always email in or send in an audio clip. That would be even better. Or a video clip if you really want. And we'll play it on this very show. But you can just get your story to us however you would like, because we want to communally learn about other people's mistakes and learn from them. Why not? We're all in this together, so let's do that. And today, we have a submission from Jeremy Dennis. And Jeremy Dennis, you might have heard him a couple of times mentioned on the show. He's chimed in a few different times. He indeed told us how he saved his podcast. Now, he did it by email, which means If you're watching the video side of things right now, you'll see that SP and I are sharp-dressed men, which means we take this gig very serious. That's right. Right now, no word of a lie, audio listener. SP's wearing a full suit, and I'm just got the West Coast twist on it. I got the unbuttoned shirt with the tie barely hanging on. But no, that is a thing. That's a thing that's going on right now on the video side of things. So we want to make sure that we make this segment sharp dressed for your ears. So we're going to interpret your text submission, your text that you sent us, and we are going to put our twist on how we believe that you meant for this to be read. SP, go ahead and read it out.
This was sent in by Mr. Jeremy Dennis from the Transformers podcast. Last year, we had a guest on, and I noticed Zencastr did not get my mic audio for some reason, and I had forgotten to start a backup recording. I quickly fired up Audacity to get my audio, but we were already about 10 minutes into the show. Instead of starting over, we kept going, and after the show was over, I re-recorded my parts while listening to the other tracks, acting as if it were live. Not perfect, but good enough that no one realized the mistake.
So that's where we're pretty sure that's what you meant there, Jeremy. We're pretty sure that that is exactly how you wanted that to be read out. So thank you very much for submitting that. And yeah, if you do send it in, we'll have some fun with it if you do it by text. Because, you know, that's what we're here for, is all about having fun. And Jeremy, it is a fantastic story and one that I actually relate to very, very well because I've done this myself before also. That's something that back in the day, back when I did the Fanboy Buzz podcast, it was a comic book podcast. In the early days, we didn't multi-track. We didn't do any of that. I just had a single track, and on more than one occasion, something happened, and I had to go re-record myself, and that's exactly how I did it. I played it back, and I reacted like I was live, and yeah, most people can't tell. You know, as long as you do the edits properly and well, usually they can't tell. You just got to make sure sometimes you might have to record a little bit more than you actually need because you want to make sure your voice sounds even. And that's what I would say. If someone's going to do this, go a little bit further till someone else starts to talk. So that way there's, you know, you're not going back to back with yourself and they're hearing 1 minute you're sounding like this and the next you're sounding like this. So you want to make sure that you do account for that. But great story, Jeremy. Love it. And we hope that you appreciated SP's dramatic interpretation.
You know, I have to say that I must be a terrible voice actor because I actually tried this on one of the podcasts that I did years ago. I think it was Voices of Defiance. My track was just miserable. I got the track for the other end from Sean and Shannon, but my track really sucked. And unfortunately, I tried to do that. I tried to ADR my voice in on the track. And it just, after about 2 minutes, I was like, there's no way I'm going to be able to do this for the whole podcast. This sounds really bad. So I decided not to do it. So it does matter on what your level of voiceover talent really is.
Absolutely. And the other thing that I should mention here as well is if you do this, I actually recommend doing it just in moderation. Like, don't try to do what SP did. Do the whole thing. I'm so glad he brought that up. Because it will get exhausting, but I don't know, maybe that's the cards that you're dealt with. Maybe something happens so bad that you got to do a whole thing, but I do recommend just doing a little bit of it and not exhausting yourself. But I guess we see what happens. However, you got to save your podcast, right?
That's right. I'm glad it worked out for you two guys. And I can't remember what I did with mine, but I eventually got it out. I think I went with, instead of isolating the tracks and multi-tracking, I think I just went with one single track recording, which, you know, if you've got that and that's it, you might as well run with it.
For sure. The one way that I want to share a quick how I save my podcast story, or how I'm going to save my podcast story, I'm not going to do music or anything, is I'm going to stop saying absolutely. And where better than to talk about it right now? Listeners and viewers, you probably heard last week, while I was playing it back, I was like, Steven, stop saying absolutely. So I wanted to come on here and actually share right now, before we go into the rest of the show, I've noticed this nervous tick of mine, and I'm going to go ahead and clearly change it, because I said it so much last episode that I got tired of it. And I know you got tired of it too, so I'm going to try to reduce and use in moderation the word absolutely. But if you hear me doing it too much, I want you to call me out. Go to Twitter. Tweet me, at Steven John Drew. You can say, hey, doing it too much. Send me an email, podcast@betterpodcasting.com. Facebook.com/betterpodcasting. I don't care. Just tell me that you've heard it, because I am only going to solve it if I hold myself accountable. So there you go. I've done it on here. I have brought out my flaw, and I want everybody to learn from my mistake.
So time out. Let's go. Let's reel it back in a little bit. So you listen back to your own podcast and you critiqued yourself while you were listening to the podcast.
No.
Basically because it annoyed you so much that you did it. That, Stephen, run with me here. This is a teaching point. You should listen back to your own podcast. You shouldn't just send it off to somebody and then run it out the door for editing. You should listen back to it. And if not right away, a couple weeks later, 2-4 weeks later, and figure out what things you need to change. That's an important tidbit to know. That's an extra tidbit that wasn't in the show notes for this week, but Stargate Pioneer is giving it to you so that you can improve your own hobby podcast.
Awesome. Yeah, absolutely. So there you go. I did it again. But no, see, that is a really good point though, SP. It really is a good point. And that is one of the many reasons I do play it back. And I will say that if I really had wanted to, I could have gone back last week and edited them all out, but that's not the style of editing that I have on here, and I wanted to focus on more important things, such as planning this show and future shows, so I made the creative decision to leave it in and actually use it as a teaching point on this show. So, awesome, and that's all that I'm going to mention on it, and let's talk guests.
Here we go.
Yes, it's here. It's finally over. The end of the guest arc. I know you're upset. But Steven, if you end the guest arc now, how am I going to have guests on? Well, guess what? You take the knowledge that we've shared over the last 3 weeks and apply it, and then come back and talk to us about your experience. Because again, it's that communal learning thing. Feel free to write us podcast@betterpodcasting.com with your experiences, because we want to hear from you, and maybe you have some more stuff that our listeners can learn from. So what are we going to talk about today in the final chapter of the guest arc? Well, you're going to have a guest on your show, so you might have to adapt to them. We talked last week about setting expectations, and the week before that, we talked about things that you may want to do to prepare to have the guest on. And like I said, you might also need to adapt when they come on. So that's what we're going to talk about today in the show. Now, why is this? Well, like I said before, they're coming on to your show for the first time. We've mentioned that the last couple weeks. This is something that you want to remember. They are not part of your regular flow, your regular co-hostery. We want to make sure that you don't forget that point. And in turn, you may have to adapt to them when you're actually doing the recording. So, what is point number one? Well, you're in luck, because Stargate Pioneer is about to tell you that.
Point number one, it's your opening. You better introduce your guest. Yes, you have to do it. Don't make your guests introduce themselves. So, that's right. You have to change your opening to introduce your guests. I've had guest hosts the last few weeks on Starlink Tribune, on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., I always introduce them, even if they're a reoccurring guest. You got to say, hey, look, they're here. And if you have a co-host that doesn't have to be there, say, hey, they'll be back next week or whatever. Don't leave people hanging that you might have fired them. Or If you just don't want to acknowledge the fact that you fired him, go ahead. But the most important thing is to introduce your guest. And not only are you being courteous to them, but you're also just informing the audience, who the heck is this person? This person is not usually on the podcast. I don't know who this person is. Tell me who this person is. So not only do you have to tell them your name, but also make sure you give your guest qualifications. Maybe you're just having them on because they're your friend and they wanted to try out the podcasting thing. But more than likely, since we talked about the guest should provide some value to the show a couple of weeks ago, you want to give them, you want to give your audience the qualifications of your guest. So is the person an expert in their field? Do they know a lot? Do they have a lot of experience? Do they have something to say that's pretty vocal? Have they had a successful book or a career in the area? All that sort of thing you want to wrap up. What are their current accomplishments? What are their current projects? How does that apply to what you're talking about? So all that you should include in the introduction. And don't forget, you just got a new voice on the podcast. So you're trying to tell the listener who that voice is, because in a podcast, I mean, we do a video companion to this podcast, but most podcasts are still audio only. And so there's nothing to differentiate who's speaking. And if you hear a new voice out of nowhere, it's like, that doesn't sound like SP or Steven. I wonder who that is. Then we owe it to you to tell you who that individual is.
Yes. Now, SP, let me ask you this. What is the next point that we have on the agenda?
The next point is you better be prepared to
leave.
Well,
I'm going to cut you off there. You see how quickly SP just picked up on that. You know why he picked up on that? Because he knows right now what I am going through. And it's our shared show document that we've talked so much about before, preparing yourself and whatnot. We have a shared show document. Usually we go back and forth on this show. If you haven't noticed that before, that's our style. We go back and forth between the points. Right now, I threw SP a curveball and I went, SP, go ahead and give us the next point. He wasn't expecting that, but he picked up and he went along. Why was that? Because we do this together every day, and not every day, but every week. And he knows what I'm expecting and we pick up or bounce off of each other. Well, your guests probably won't be able to do that. So you're going to have to throw them softballs and sometimes even spoon feed them questions. And that's our next point here, is you want to make sure that you're really helping guide them along. Because again, often your core hosts, your core crew, they bounce off of each other. They play off of each other. And guests can sometimes be a little bit more reserved, or maybe be a little bit flustered. SP, you can unfreeze now. I see you frozen right now. I wanted to do that there intentionally to illustrate the point. And that is something that is really easy to forget, that your guest is a guest and won't probably be as willing to jump in as you're used to with the rest of your crew.
Yeah, and on the flip side, maybe your guest gets going on this track, this train that is totally derailed from what you're trying to talk about, right? So not only can they not shut up, but they're talking about milking the cow when they were back a kid on the farm, which is totally something that's not anything to do with your paint drying or your grass growing podcast. So you got to reel them back in. So there's a lot of different ways to do it. You can joke with them a little bit and reel them back in. You can try not to be rude, but you can politely say, well, you know, that's an interesting story, but what we really need to talk about is this. And don't forget, you can always try to hard reset. Like, and yes, today we're here. This is Stargate Pioneer with Better Podcasting. And today we're discussing guest adaptations. And I'm here with Stephen J., generic guest. And we're going to be talking now about the next topic. And then you run on to the next topic, something like that. You can do a hard reset. Mm-hmm. It's a skill to learn, but you can roll into that as well. If you're going to interview a lot, you're going to understand how to interview more and more and more. And I would highly encourage you to listen to other interviewers, whether it's radio, podcasts, or maybe late night talk show hosts, and you get to understand how to interact back and forth with guests. as well as you can read up on the whole interview issue as well. But you're going to have to steer that conversation if the guest goes off the rails.
Yeah. And there's another way that you can kind of balance the two, because you don't always want to be direct with them either, because sometimes they might feel like they're just taking cues that they're doing things wrong and they might just completely shut down. But remember, you're going to edit your podcast. At least we're assuming you are. So you can kind of do that hard reset politely and actually go and pull out that section later. And what I mean by that is, let's say the guest is going on the tangent, and then you say to them, okay, well, let's not get too far off the track. Back to the original point. My thoughts on it were, and then continue. And then what I can go in, and I can go in, I can edit out that middle section so it sounds like I'm just responding to that earlier point. So don't be afraid to do a hard reset, but planning to edit out the middle point later, because that's something that is, I would encourage you to do to make sure you keep your show as usual and sort of tight as possible.
And another thing is, remember, your guest is a guest. We've been talking about this. We've been highlighting this over and over again. Imagine this. You're throwing a party. Could be your 13-year-old's birthday party, probably 8-year-old's birthday party. It could be you're watching the Super Bowl. I don't care. You're throwing a party. And in that party, you're not going to be doing your usual day-to-day activities, which is running around in your underwear, trying to find something to wear for work, right? And yelling across the house to other family members or roommates saying, where did you put my shoes? You're not going to be doing that. You're going to be nicely dressed. You don't have to have a suit on, but you have to be nicely dressed or appropriately dressed.
This is how we're supposed to have parties?
If that's how you Canadians have parties in your igloos, that's fine. That is not how Americans have parties all the time.
I know why everybody always says no to my RSVPs. I think I know now. So.
They don't want to suit up for a party at a residential house. No. But generally, you have some manners, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're not going to do this for a party in your house, why would you do it for a podcast? Right? Put your best foot forward and don't want to come back, or they'll tell your friends, hey, look, Steven's house was such a party. We need to go there next time. Yeah, dude, it was such a rad kegger. We got to crash his pad next time.
The other thing, though, along that same sort of train of thought is that your audience is still the priority. So you don't want to change too much what they love, but you also want to remember that you might be judged by them. And what I mean by that is, like, let's say that this guest is somebody that you do know really well. They're basically your family. Well, if you have that guest on, more than likely you're going to be able to joke around with them and kid around with them a lot more than you would just a random person off of the street. But your audience doesn't know the history you have with them, and they might be judging you. If all of a sudden you're kind of ribbing your guest every other sentence, they might not like that. They might think that's kind of rude. So you want to remember, you're doing your show for your audience. So sometimes formalizing a relationship that you otherwise have casual with somebody might actually help your audience. And then, you know, it's as you go through the show, you get a little bit more casual with them, becomes a little bit more natural, but your audience might judge you. That happens. Every time your audience listens, they're judging you to some degree.
They're judging you right now, Steven. How does that make you feel?
Well, I am clearly the lesser dressed, so I know exactly what their thoughts are.
Yeah, but I don't have a lot of cool microphones behind me. I mean, you got that lighted thing going on and everything. It looks really professional right there, let me tell you. Anyway, let's not forget, you are in control of your podcast, right? Your guest is not in control. So you can't give your guest co-host level responsibility unless you're bringing them on as a potential co-host, but don't do it even if they agree. If you're talking about an interviewee or a onesie twosie guest, often on podcasts there's one person who takes the bulk of the steering captain capability of leading conversations, and other hosts chime in with pieces and sometimes take sections or segments of the podcast themselves, but usually there's one person in the lead. And we talked about how before you might have a guest come prepared to do just a segment. And if it was a co-host doing it, the one leading would feel comfortable just letting this person do the segment. However, with guests, you might want to adapt your style and help steer them through the segment a bit. And this would help the regular flow of your show, but also it will help the guest not feel too responsible. And let's face it, nobody likes being responsible, especially the first time out of the gate, right? So a good idea would be a little bit of spoon feeding. So let's take that through an example, Stephen, right?
Okay.
So next up, we prepared a bit of a segment that our guest Stephen is going to take. Stephen, why don't you go ahead and start us off?
Well done. Well done, sir. Good example. And no, that is sometimes what you want to do, because you are bridging the gap between your guest as a new voice and your audience who knows you each week. And you're also helping set the guest at ease a little bit too, because you're not giving them that full level of responsibility. So good example, SP. And again, well done.
Thank you, sir. It's my voice acting career. It's really starting to take off after that failure with Voices of Defiance.
What other ways might you have to adapt your guest? Well, your ending. We talked about your beginning, but your ending as well. You probably want to adapt your ending to cycle back to your guest. Now, why is this a priority? Well, you're giving them the courtesy if you bring them up at the end and acknowledge that they are the guest. And this works a couple different ways. Number one, you're showing them the appreciation that you should have for their time. It should be authentic. You should appreciate your guest taking their time to come on your show. And the other thing as well is sometimes if they do have something that they want to plug and promote, like we talked about last week, you can greatly work it in there as you're sort of walking out the door. So adapting your ending to cycle back to your guest is huge. And in my opinion, everybody who has a guest should do this at the end of their show.
Yeah, you got to lead your guest out. You got to ask your guest, hey, what is anything? What's your project that's going on? Where can people find you? Because some people might just love your guest so much. They're like, I need more of this content, which is kind of why you're having them on the show, is to increase the value of your show, but also to point them towards whatever your guest is doing. So you've got to do that. And oh, by the way, if you've asked your guest to record the segment, if it's another podcaster, it's pretty easy because every podcaster knows how to record. But if you set it up ahead of time, like we talked about last time, and they've recorded, keep them on the line until they're actually uploading that file, because if you don't, they might never send it to you. They might never know where to find it, and they might never know where to send it. So make sure you're giving them explicit instructions along the way, which might be a little difficult if you've had them on a segment on a live show and then you're transitioning to another segment. So this is all stuff that you got to kind of plan in ahead, maybe an edit point that you do in your YouTube video if you're doing it live on YouTube. But we, as Stephen mentioned before, do recommend that you edit your podcast. So this should be nothing new to you, that you are editing and splicing and stuff like that. It might be a little awkward for the listener that's there, the live listener, but you know what? It's just part of doing business. And if you're allowing a live listener to come in, there's two ways to think about it. See, we should talk about this at some time in the future, a live experience. In some ways, you're inviting the listener in to just to get in the behind the scenes sort of stuff as you're making the podcast. And some are actually live shows. So if you're an actual live show, you probably have a behind the scenes producer to deal with the guests as you go on to something else. But if you're having people in the behind the scenes, just, hey, look, send the file to the link that I sent you. Don't tell people where it is, because then they'll be spamming you with all sorts of stuff. And then you do it behind the scenes, not in the main chat. And there's just different ways to do it. If you need more information on that, you can contact Stephen or I.
Yeah. The other thing that you might want to consider adapting, you know, your show's wrapped up, you've had them send the file as well, is you may also want to tell them when you release your show. Now, why is this important? This is important for a couple of reasons, because you, number one, can tell them and loop them back in. Great way to keep that rapport going. Great opportunity to follow up and build that relationship further. Secondly, maybe they will want to promote it when you cycle back to them. So that's what I would suggest you do, is go and change your flow a little bit. And once it's posted, send them that message, say, hey, it's out there. And they will probably be very appreciative of it.
Hey, we're the Monkees, and we've just released a podcast. You should promote it to your audience, too. Don't expect that, by the way. If you're having the guest on, you're having the guest on to promote the content, really. You're trying to get the good content out to your audience. That's the main thing. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. So don't worry if they don't have time to promote it. Don't have a guest on specifically to promote. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. Just reiterating that here. But if they are interested, say, like I was on Podcasters Roundtable unexpectedly this past week, you will see a tweet from me retweeting that saying, hey, look, I was on this podcast. You're going to see that from people that want to promote. You're not going to see it from people that are like, don't bother me, kid. I'm working here.
So that is the last portion of our guest arc. And you might be saying to yourself, Steven, with remote guests, how do you ensure they sound okay? Okay, that was a little awkward, right? We had Diami Pelokey actually just message that to us today by Twitter, and it's such a great way to wrap up this arc because it covers pretty much all three sections that we talked about this month. And what we mean by that is, well, if you start by going back to the first episode and thinking about the idea that we had of the test call or possibly having the guest come on a little bit earlier, that is a great way to do that because you can make sure that everything checks out and give them feedback to hopefully help address any concerns that you might have. And SP does this all the time. I've seen him do this where he actually will call up somebody in advance the day before, the week before, and run through a couple of things with them and help make sure that they do sound optimal. And, of course, it also leads into setting expectations. So you set the expectations to them. We're going to be recording by Skype. We'd like you to use a microphone. Do you have a microphone? And when you connect, we want you to be on top of the microphone. So it's a great question, Diami, and thank you so much for that. And really, that would be my number one recommendation, myself personally, if you're really wanting to make sure that sounds good, in advance, do a test call with them because you'll be able to diagnose problems that you might have when you have them on the show.
The one thing, and this is extreme, by the way, the one thing that I will add to that, and I've done it a couple of times, but I probably will only be doing it in select situations, was that I have actually purchased a microphone, ATR 2100, and I have sent it to a potential guest. Some were pretty high profile actors, and some were just different people that I knew weren't going to have the technical know-how, and it was kind of a welcome to podcasting if you want it. And I got the ATR 2100s, the Audio-Technica ATR 2100s, their USB and the XLR. We talk a lot about them, although we really prefer the AT2005, which is its professional cousin right now, just a little bit of price difference between the two. Anyway, at the time, the ATR 2100 was my main recommendation, and I've actually sent that to different people. And it's worked great in that we were able to set it up. We were able to get good sound back and forth. And that worked, like I said, extreme. And at the time, they were only like $35-$40 a piece. So it was like no big deal just to Amazon them this microphone. So extreme. But if you want to make sure your podcast sounds good or your guest sounds good for your podcast, that's the thing to do. The other thing is, what's your expectation to your audience? If they're expecting a phone call from a guest, it's no big deal to pipe in a phone call back and forth on your mixer. But if they're expecting studio level sound, like you get on TV a lot, then you have to consider doing some stuff like that.
Great addition. And I couldn't agree anymore. Well, I guess maybe I could. I shouldn't lie. But that does wrap up the guest arc for this time, because who knows, maybe your feedback will encourage us to come back in the future and do another episode or two on it. It could absolutely happen. That's always a possibility. We always want to make sure that we're tailoring this show to you.
Let's go ahead. In the future!
I knew you were going to do that. Let's go ahead and move on to our download. Let's do that now.
Welcome to this week's Better Podcasting Download.
We have a hot topic this week. And no, it's not the hot topic that you go and you buy your pop your Funko Pops from. It's not that hot topic. We have a hot topic this week on the download. And this is something that SP and I have been thinking about for a couple of years. It's interesting. We thought about it a couple years ago, and we're still thinking about it now because we recently heard an interesting comment about the term hobby podcasting. SP, go ahead and fill the listeners and viewers in.
So we heard a comment in the podcasting circles about, hey, you know, I was listening to this podcast. There was three, four guys on a microphone. They were talking all over each other. They were just getting together with their buddies after work. And they were just shooting the bull like people do either at the bar or around the poker table, whatever it is. That's what a hobby podcast sounds like. I'm like, wait a minute. I have hobby podcasts. They don't sound like that. They sound very professional. I have taken a lot of work and time and education and money and put into my hobby podcast to make it sound at just as good as I can from a home studio perspective.
Yes.
And I was like, huh. And then I started to hear some comments from some other people, like Emily from The Story Behind, which we talked about last week. She said, my podcast is a hobby podcast. It doesn't sound like that. I make sure it sounds good. And if you listen to her podcast, like I recommended last week, you will definitely hear the amazing sound of The Story Behind, which, by the way, her latest episode that I know of is an episode about Betty White, which is awesome because Betty White turned 85. It was great. So this is why, by the way, we started Better Podcasting, because we knew that there was a lot of hobby podcasters out there that wanted to get a more professional sound, and we knew how to do it. So the whole thing is to try to help you sound better, for your competition, which might be a professional podcast. It might be like if you're doing an entertainment-based podcast, maybe on a TV show. Maybe the studio is putting out their own podcast, but it sounds terrible.
Yeah.
But you put together this amazing-sounding podcast. So they call you up one day, and they go, hey, Steven, we really like that Walking Dead podcast you do. We want you to do it for Chris Hardwick in The Talking Dead.
Yeah, nobody's going to do that to me. So it's another Steven. But that's exactly the point here that we want to make, was that there is obviously a preconceived notion that a quote-unquote hobby podcast has a certain look and a sound to it. And while I think that maybe, I'm not even going to go past 5 years ago, I'm going to say like 3 to 5 years ago, that might have been the case. That was sort of when the emergence was that there was professional podcasters and the hobby podcasters were kind of trailing and being okay with it. Then all of a sudden there were some changes, and now that's not really the case. We wanted to address that head on and say, number one, that is why we made Better Podcasting, as SP said, because we want to break that stigma. That's something that we don't believe is true at all. If you look at our shows, even the shows that SP and I do, which are more lightly edited, they don't sound like a few people sitting around just doing whatever, eating dinner, yelling around a Yeti. That's not the way that it works. No, we put time and love into it, and we try to make them sound the best that they can. And we do that even with our live experiences, which are different sometimes than the produced version. We try to make them the best that we can be, by having, as SP said, good equipment, by making sure our levels are right, by preparing, by even paying attention to our visual. If you've ever watched our video show that you can find at youtube.com/GunnaGeek, right now, I wasn't kidding, SP and I are dressed nicely. Now, I want to share some insight on that. This is a great time to bring it up in full. SP barely got off of work and got home, and so that's why he was wearing a suit. I sat down and he's wearing a suit, and I'm like, I can't go in my polo shirt. So I went, and to better match and better even the visual, I slapped on a barely tied tie and a dress shirt just for fun and to match, because I take it seriously. And it looked terrible with him in a suit and me in a polo shirt. It looked awful. So I did that. I have a visual backdrop. So does SP. We both have mic flags, which you see on occasion. We care about our visual, but we also care about our audio and vice versa. So We are hobby podcasters. We have never, ever, ever said elsewise, and it's the truth. We do this as our hobby. It's fun for us, and we're examples of people who take it serious. And we think that you are, too, because you're listening to this show. If you're listening to this show, you probably take it seriously because you're trying to develop yourself. I tend to think that people who don't really care about their show probably don't really listen to developmental podcasts. I don't think that it's top on their priority list. So absolutely, I think that all of you are great examples of that. And so we really did want to just address this head on and get your feedback. Do you think that that's a fair assessment? Because I think if I look at it and those people who are falling behind, I think that they are not even, like, I don't think you can call it a hobby podcaster. I think that there's got to be another term. Do we call it grip it and rip it? Do we call it carefree podcasters? I don't know, but I think we're well past calling them hobby podcasters.
Yeah, I was thinking about this. I was like, maybe amateur podcast might throw in there, but I really don't know. I just know that what we consider to be a hobby podcast on Better Podcasting is something that is well produced. You have good audio and you present a good creation to your audience. That's what I think a hobby podcast is. You have passion, you work hard, you have spent a little bit money on some better gear, or at least the correct gear, to be able to produce a good podcast going forward. And it doesn't take much. As I was saying before, an Audio Technica AT2005 is all you need to start. And you can sound almost like you're in a professional studio for like 50, 80, 120, unfortunately, up in Canada. But, you know, 50, 80 bucks here in the United States, that's all you need. And I encourage you, if you're having issues and you want to increase your audio, go find a professional, ask us, but we're not professional consultants, so it might take a little bit for us to get back to you, but find a professional consultant and they will help you. But don't be those guys that are just talking around a table for 20 episodes and then you hang it up because nobody's listening. I'll tell you why nobody's listening, because they can't listen to you because the audio is so bad. And yeah. Hobby podcasters aren't that. Hobby podcasters, in my opinion, are people that are passionate about their issues. So I'm interested to get your feedback. What do you think, listener? What do you think is a hobby podcaster? What's your definition of it? What do you think they sound like? Give us some examples. Is your show a hobby podcast? What does it sound like? Do you listen to other hobby podcasts? What do they sound like? Tell us what they are and we'll check them out and we'll come to a consensus, because this is important to us. And there's other things that fall from this, by the way. And we were just talking about it earlier today, and it's for a future arc. But if you tell us what your definition of a hobby podcast is, that will help us frame our definition. But our definition is somebody that cares, somebody that produces, and somebody has good audio and good content.
I'm going to use this right now. Absolutely. There you go. I'm going to use it. Great, great way to wrap it up there, SP. And please do get in touch with us. You can tweet us at BetterPod. You can find us at Facebook.com/BetterPodcasting. You can email podcast@BetterPodcasting.com. Just get a hold of us any of these different ways. And we want to know, what do you think? Do you agree with the term? Maybe you do. Maybe you're like Steven and SP. I've just slammed my iDevice down because I disagree with you. Or maybe you're like, you know what? I do agree with you. I think that it's an old data term. So please let us know and give us some insight. And if you are a hobby podcaster, please feel free to email us and tell us, hey, I'm a hobby podcaster, so that we know that you are a hobby podcaster as well. Hobby podcasters, unite.
Yeah. By the way, slight correction, I guess. I meant to say 95 for Betty White. Steven told me I said 85. So yes, Betty White is 95, and that is awesome. That is like the Queen of England. That's like James Earl Jones. That group is just awesome. I appreciate everything that they've done for us. And I watch Golden Girls every night on the Hallmark Channel. It's awesome.
This is your moment of the podcast. This is the moment where we tell everybody about what you said to us this week via the variety of places that you can get in touch with us. So let's start off with an email that we received from Johnny Pennington. Johnny said the following: to my digital best buds, brackets S, Stephen J, and SP, quote, well, there you go again, brackets, as Ronald Reagan said to Jimmy Carter in the 1980 presidential debate. My reference is to Stephen's sneaky placement of an unidentifiable microphone, brackets, in the middle, lower shelf, to his right and behind him on his back lit microphone shelf in Better Podcasting episode 61. At this point in my weekly viewing of podcasts, I have become wise to your ways. I do not expect you to reveal your surprise nor your reasoning about this. I know you have your reasons. I just hope that I can bring a slight bit of relief to Stephen's shoulder pain once again, like he said that he had in episode 53. That being said, I'd like to mention something else from that episode. I owned a video store between 1982 through 1992 in its heyday, and around 1982 or 83, Chariots of Fire was a rental-only title, later to become a for-sale title. As you guys mentioned, none of your circles seemed to like it. And when it first came out on video in the early 80s, despite the great music score and the accolades it received, 95% of my customers' feedback was that it was boring and terrible. So my personal feedback, as well as your own, seems to concur. Love your show and just want to also give you some personal feedback. In that, I enjoy your show even more when I watch it. I heard episode 61 first, then later watched it. The difference, especially when you guys had your eyes rolling tired during the Sleep Whisperer's voicemail, was day and night. Even though I had heard it, your visuals really enhanced it the second go around. So my suggestion to you is that after the end of every podcast, you should state, if you think this is good, you should watch the video. Have a great new year from a loyal fan, Johnny Pennington. Johnny, thank you so much for the dedication you put into that email. It's a very in-depth email, and I really like that you referenced back to multiple episodes, especially my shoulder pain. I can't believe that I've been having that for that long, but hey, thank you for that and your Chariots of Fire comment. Awesome. It made me smile when I read that.
Yeah, first of all, Johnny, thank you very much for the email. Second of all, Johnny, you need to get your podcast out, buddy. If you need help, let us know. But we're really looking forward to that. I know the clock's ticking on you, so you might go there. And then third of all, if you're watching the video right now, Stephen is holding up the microphone in question. Let me give you a little background to this microphone. It is an MXL CR77. It is a dynamic cardioid microphone in the shape kind of a ribbon microphone that they used on radios and singers and stuff like that. And Stephen was gifted this microphone so it could be a set dressing present on his shelf behind him. And there will be an upcoming microphone test about this microphone, but let me not, just so you don't get your hopes up, I wouldn't go out buying this microphone. There's other microphones we would recommend ahead of this microphone. That's a little spoiler there, Stephen, but I didn't want people running out and buying it.
No, you hit it on the head, and I was actually going to mention that. It was a gift for set dressing, and we will remind you, it was a gift for set dressing, and then we'll follow up with more details another day. So thank you very much for that, Johnny. We also got another email, didn't we, SP?
We did. It was from Jeremy Dennis, who I read part of his email in the earlier How I Say My Podcast section, but he also emailed us a different section. He said, hey guys, I'm loving this series on guests. I'd like to relate an experience that we had on Transmissions early on. I believe I said he had a Transformers podcast. It's actually called Transmissions. We had Margaret Scott on in January 2014. She is a writer and had done some work for IDW on their Transformers comics. During the interview, she inadvertently revealed some information about a new series that was based off of a female Transformer that Hasbro created through a fan poll. Here's the rub, guys. Hasbro had not yet announced the toy or the character, and IDW had not announced the comic yet. So we sent IDW the edited episode to review. We offered to edit out that section if they wanted, but mentioned that we really preferred to keep it and hoped that we could just delay the release instead. In this particular case, IDW agreed, and we held the podcast for over a month until IDW made their own announcement at New York Toy Fair that year. In our post for that show, we noted, quote, "This episode was recorded in early January 2014, so it was before Windblade was revealed in Dark Cybertron Chapter 8 and at the New York Toy Fair," unquote, since the show also included dated items that such as what we got for Christmas. And Jeremy, that's a good way to handle that, especially since you released it so late. And that lets your fans know that mm-hmm. you wanted to release this episode on time, but you just couldn't because you were holding something back in preference to the entertainment company that you actually prefer to get content from. You're trying to support them, but at the same time, you're trying not to ruin them. So holding on to that information was probably the right thing to do, in my opinion.
I agree. And I think that what's nice about that as well is that you're not removing valuable content. Like, obviously, if you needed it and you needed it out, then it's a different situation. But in this case here, where you're flexible, I think that it is nice because it does your listeners a service. It gives them the service of giving them more content from that interview. And I like that. I think that is a great way to do it. Plus, it is a little bit of a gloating fact that you get to do, such as, you know, I admit this now. This is one of the things that I always do. There is a certain actor that once, and I won't mention the name, there's a certain actor that once wrote me asking for my opinion on their comic book that they were reviewing, and I thought it was fake, and later it came out that it was real, and I still will mention it from time to time. It's just a thing like I get to gloat about in a fun little way that I ignored a famous actor. So there you go. And I think that that's a great little fun nugget that you got to do there. So great way to handle it. And thank you for sending that in to us. We all
ignore me. Hey, I got one more thing for Jeremy. Hey, Jeremy, you didn't explain in the email. In December 2013, what did you get for Christmas? Now, all of a sudden, I'm curious.
Good point. We also had the story behind at Story Behind Pod say, thanks for the awesome shout out for the story behind. Great episode as always. And you know what? It's great. We're happy to do it. And again, we think a lot of people should check that out. We asked last week, there it is. There's my hashtag I made up last week. I asked, what's your biggest hashtag podgret, brackets podcast regret? Any other more recent hashtag podgrets? Hashtag podcast. We asked that on Twitter, and we had Anthony Bachman at Anthony Bachman say, the end of Next Element podcast, and that I haven't started Crash Pad Pod yet. So it is sad. I hear you on that. It's always sad when a podcast ends, especially when you're having a lot of fun. And sometimes it does take a little bit to get another one going because you don't want to sound like you're copying what you just did. You want to have your own flavor to it, and you want to make sure that you do put in the style that you want that show to be. It's got to be its own beast. And definitely it can take you a while to get up that courage to do it because you are going from something that was established to something brand new. Been there like 11 months worth.
I was going to mention that. I was going to say, I unfortunately had to end the podcast, Voices of Defiance, because the freaking show got canceled, right?
Yeah.
And it took us 11 months to start this one. It basically replaced it on my production schedule. But another podgrat that I have is I am so busy that I could not start a podcast on The Expanse because I love that show so much. It's coming back, by the way, February 1st on the Sci-Fi Channel. If you haven't had a chance to read the book or check out the first season, please do so. I know you can get it on Blu-ray. You can get it on Amazon Prime or iTunes, whatever. If you haven't checked out, if you're a sci-fi fan and you haven't checked out The Expanse yet, you really should. It is that good. It's probably the best sci-fi, realistic sci-fi I have ever seen.
Finally, we had Scott Smith write us on our Facebook saying, I used Clamor for the first time to promote an upcoming episode. It worked great. Lots of great feedback. I'm a big fan and will definitely use it again. SP, this is your baby. You're the Clamoraholic. Go ahead and respond.
I actually clamored today for the first time in a while. First of all, clamor actually takes a ton of time, and you have to have the time devoted to it. Even if you have the segment all picked out and everything, and it's on your iPhone, you still have to load it in the Clamor app. You have to find it. You have to cut out this piece that you're doing it. And it's only available on iPhone, by the way. It's not on Android, so that's a whole thing. You can do it on the web, but that would take even longer and stuff like that. So it takes some time, and it has to be deliberate. So you won't see clamors coming out from me all the time. I just don't have time to do it. But if I run into something that I really want to clamor, I'll do it. And if it is funny, if it is informational, if it calls out some really important people or whatever, or really resonates with a group of your following, they'll retweet it. And I've had some clamors retweeted by some very important people recently. So that's all cool and everything. But if he's using it as a promotional device, that is something that I used to do quite a bit with Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., with Starling Tribune, even with Better Podcasting. I used to do it all the time. I would pick out something between 5 and 15 clamors per episode and get those out there. And that would be my means of promoting the show.
Yeah.
He did it not after the fact, but before the fact, to get some feedback from his listeners. So I, you know what? That is awesome, Scott. You're thinking ahead, getting ahead of the curve, and you're using that technology. It's free for now, by the way, and it's still available for now. So if you can get into it and use it to your advantage, I wholeheartedly say you should. That extra mile that you take for your podcast is really important. And that is another reason why one of SP's golden rules of hobby podcasting is only two shows, because if you do more than two shows, you will not have time to do cool stuff like this to promote your show.
So let me just recap here. You used to do it a lot. You don't do it much anymore. I don't know. I'm just thinking that sounds a lot like, you know, a typical hobby podcaster cutting corners. That's all I'm going to say.
Thanks for throwing me under the bus, Stephen J. Generic name, Mr. Producer, owner of the GunnaGeek.com network. Thanks for, you know, throwing the people that work for you and try to support you and develop your network for you. Thanks for just slapping us in the face in the full view and earshot of our listeners.
Anytime. But that is the end of the show. Before we wrap up, I will just take a moment here to thank everybody who did come on by our live experience at Geeks.live. We had a couple of different people, including Alfredo, I think it's Tigolo. He just launched a show, so very cool. And we also had Scott Smith compliment SP. See, now I'll give you credit where credit's due. He said, "Nice SP freeze." So he really liked your little freeze frame that you did for the video viewer earlier.
Well, I got to say, I'm a little hurt from that because I got cut off very, very loudly and abruptly, and I felt like I was getting slapped down back then, too. You've been very abusive this podcast, Stephen. I'm going to turn you into the podcaster abusers of the North America, because you need to be turned in. So you need some counseling, sir.
That's true. I do. I absolutely do. But there you go. That is the end of episode 63 of Better Podcasting. I'm Stephen John Drew saying, I really do like SP.
And I'm Stargate Pioneer saying, we really want to know what your take on hobby podcasting is. See you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Better Podcasting. We want to hear from you. You can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. If you like the show, please consider giving us a 5-star review in iTunes. We encourage you to check out all of the other geeky podcasts available at gunnageeknetwork.com. This has been a Gunna Geek production. Thanks for listening, and we will see you again next week.